When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. This one is brought to you by West Yorkshire Electrical, who will do stuff with wires in, won't they?
They will, yeah. What do you want them to do?
Me electrics.
Solar panels. Done.
I'd like some of those on my roof,
right.
Please.
Roof, done. They do that at the same time. Battery storage, done. Plug it into your car.
Your EV charger.
All part of it.
Is that because they're specialists in renewable? Renewables, not just the one.
Yeah, all the renewables.
Yeah, I wish we'd prepared for this read before we started recording.
I say all the renewables. They don't do like tidal power or anything, so don't try and put any of that in your garden.
No, not unless you have an ocean.
No.
WYElectrical.co.uk for details. Specialist in renewables, fully accredited electrician. Do loads of this, all the regular stuff. You know what electricians do, don't you?
Yeah.
They do that.
This and that.
But do most of them do roofing? No, these ones do. Specialist team of roofers. And that, yeah, details on the website. Hey, Phil, you're right. Save us from this again.
Yes. Do they build wind farms in your garden?
I'm going to say you might need planning for that, so probably not.
I've got a feeling, genuinely, that you would attempt that on your own.
I think if they offered Michael one of those huge ones that you go past, you know, on the M1 as it's going down towards the M62, I think you'd say yes.
I've just got an old school. I'm just grinding wheat in mine, sewing it on.
An actual, like a Dutch...
Yeah, like a proper windmill.
Windmill. Super. Phil,
yes.
It's midweek as we record this. We've broken with tradition, and instead of doing start of the week, end of the week, we're doing one slap bang in the middle of the week, just because of the lay of the fixtures. Leeds played on Monday against Middlesbrough, which we can get into in a second. We've got QPR. We'll preview that afterwards. We're straight off the back of Leicester-Southampton as well. So as we stand here, sit here, where's your head at?
We could have done this yesterday, but it was definitely worth waiting for Leicester to horse Southampton first, because now we at least have a fair idea of what's going on there, which is to say that Southampton, I think, now are out of the running, aren't they? Leicester have got it together and I think are going to finish top, and it does feel like a shootout for second, Ipswich or Leeds. Ultra tight. I thought Monday was a really good hold of nerve from Leeds. I'm not saying it was perfect. I'm not saying there weren't points in the game where it felt like they were a little bit too passive. There weren't points in the game where it got very, very wobbly, especially after Borough's third goal. But it needed some bollocks, I thought, after that first goal. Definitely. It was one of those moments where you thought, are the wheels coming off here? Is this really starting to go? And you've seen it happen before. But do you remember you asked about how, I think it was Michael asked actually, about how this compares to previous playoff runs or promotion runs, and whether it felt the same as, say, the Gary Monk season or the Grayson season. I was saying it's more like 2019, where it didn't feel like it had all gone to pieces, and it didn't feel like it had all gone off the rails, but it was clearly very tight and it was going to come down to really, really fine margins. And that was the case at Middlesbrough. I thought they were the better team, to be quite honest, and deserved it. But that is a big, big win in a week where they need two.
What Leeds and Leicester seem to have done on the basis of these Leeds last game, Leicester last couple of games, is just overcome the little wobble. All three of the top four had that little moment, didn't they, where they dropped points and Southampton gained ground back on the other three and put themselves back within touching distance. And now Southampton have had their wobble just at probably the wrong moment. Well, it is the wrong moment, isn't it, by definition, because they can't go up automatically now. But Leeds and Leicester have recovered just at the right moment. Now, it doesn't, you know, past performance is no... you know, indicator of future performance, is it? But Leicester are probably going to be far more relaxed now because they've given themselves that buffer. You'd hope Leeds can take the confidence out of that win on Monday and use it as a platform for Friday, which is actually what I hoped coming into it. Like I said, like a week or two back, it felt like, not necessarily that it was the case that we would never score again, but it felt like we'd never score again. For whatever reason, the air had gone out of it, the wind had gone out of the sails.
It's classic supporter paranoia, yeah. Isn't it? Of feeling like everything's going wrong.
But I always felt like if we get the goal, which then leads to a better performance and settles the nerves, can lead to a win. And we just, it just looked like the Leeds of old, or for most of the season, didn't it, on Monday?
Yeah, not so much defensively, but Southampton, I think, have had a really, really weird season because there have been points where they've seriously put the afterburners on, and it surprised me greatly that they were within touching distance of Leeds before they lost at Cardiff last weekend. But they've kind of had the capacity to do that, but then at the very moment where the door's sort of opening for them to go backwards suddenly, as they have, first against Cardiff and then against Leicester. And I did think watching them on Tuesday that it was very much a it's the playoffs for us performance, particularly as Leicester got into the position where they were clearly going to win that game. They were pretty feeble with Southampton, and I think you'll find that they'll be better in the playoffs when they start. But you're right, everybody, and I think particularly Leicester more than anything. Leeds haven't been great since the international break, but they have still had the odd win. They've picked up points here and there. Yes, they've lost to Coventry and Blackburn. I think Coventry, you have to say they're playing a good side. Blackburn just did not happen, and they got picked off. They basically fell to Blackburn's tactics in the end. But with Leicester, it felt like it was really setting in there, and they've managed to get it together just when they needed to. That was a really big result last night. They'll go up now, I'm pretty sure of that. And for Leeds, yeah, big result. I think Farker will have known that they absolutely had to win both games this week. They need a big hold of nerve at Borough. They need another one now at QPR on Friday. When we were chatting about it last, I sort of said, I think absolute minimum six points to make sure a second. I still think that'll be the case. I wouldn't be surprised if they need more. But in saying that, if they win at QPR, it's a lot of pressure on Ipswich before two games, which are pretty difficult for them.
Now it's come down to a straight shootout. I'm assuming from what you've said there, you would take the Leeds position over the Ipswich position, because it is very much in Ipswich's hands, but they also have three games to win in a week.
I'd probably rather answer that after QPR, I think.
Well, that would be cheating,
wouldn't it? Although I was saying...
Why don't you answer it after Southampton?
But yes, yeah, at the end of the season, yeah, definitely take Leeds' position. But as a sort of supercomputer sceptic, it seems at the moment like you can argue it either way, and you probably just let your own sort of bias dictate how you feel about it. If Leeds win at QPR on Friday, and clearly they'd be 4 points ahead, so obviously they're in a good position, and Ipswich still have two games to play. But there's nobody who wouldn't, I think, take that as opposed to being in Ipswich's position with two games outstanding that you have to take points from. It's definitely better at this time of the season to have points on the board than not. So put it this way, I'm not unhappy with the position Leeds are in at the moment when it comes to trying to win promotion. But it's been so dicey over the past month, 2 months for everybody, and it's changed so much at the top that it still feels a little bit difficult to call. It goes without saying, doesn't it? It'll be much clearer after the weekend. But I think what Leeds do on Friday and what Ipswich do on Saturday could well dictate everything now.
Do you think that the narrowing of the parameters with Leicester beating Southampton as they did and basically finishing off Southampton's promotion hopes for the automatics, Leicester cementing their place almost as champions, certainly almost certainly promoted anyway, it now looks, as you were saying, Michael, a straight shootout between Leeds and Ipswich for that second spot. Is there a certain degree of comfort in that? Because all the anxiety manifests itself around uncertainty.
Yeah, it does. No, definitely. I mean, I was trying to think before the game last night, and you can tell me what you thought, what the ideal result was, i.e. who would be better to win that game, or would a draw suit Leeds better? I kind of felt, I wasn't unhappy with Leicester winning the game because I didn't think it was a bad thing to get Southampton out of the picture. Almost felt a little bit, particularly because they come to Elland Road on the last day, that them still having a sniff and being slightly in the hunt complicated matters, whereas it is much more straightforward now and you can see what you have to do. You know, at the same time, if Leicester had lost last night, they would still be in comfortable reach of Leeds. So it kind of increases your chances in that sense. But clarity is not always a bad thing, like you say. And I think for Farker, he won't be disappointed about the fact now that they have a chance to really turn the screw on Ipswich. He's spoken before about how psychology doesn't matter. You know, who's ahead of who, what the gap is, who plays when, do you play after Ipswich or Leicester? Doesn't really matter until you reach a certain point of the season, but it definitely matters now. Mm. And if Ipswich go into Saturday knowing that the 4 points behind Leeds, including goal difference, so they effectively have to win both of those games to set themselves up for the last weekend of the season, then it's it's asking a lot. It's not asking too much necessarily because they've won a lot of games this season, but it is asking a lot.
Well, you're asking them in effect, aren't you? If we beat QPR and then you look ahead to the final day. Basically, if Leeds win two games, Ipswich need to win all three in order to beat us.
Yes.
Drop any points in any of those three and we go up. Yes. So that's the simplification of the task ahead.
Does it feel to you like it's going to the final day?
Yes.
I think it is.
I don't know.
I think it will.
The unknowables here for me are, I feel low-key all right about this QPR game. I feel like on the evidence of Monday, we should go into that with confidence. Doesn't mean anything, like I say, at this stage of the season. Games can turn on decisions or, you know, moments or whatever it might be. But in the overall sort of wider sense, I feel like we should go into that with confidence. And I kind of hope we're going to win on Friday. What you're going to get out of Ipswich? They've had a break, so they're feeling refreshed, but it cranks up the pressure. I think it's just really hard to tell. I think it's a lot to ask them to win three games in a week. Definitely is where I always felt that there was an opportunity there. You feel like at some point they're going to have to drop some points. So if we do our job, when it puts the ball back into their court, and it's a, like I say, it's a big ask. To answer your question, I don't know about what you think, Michael, best result last night was a Southampton win, then a draw, then a Leicester win. Just because we have to win on Friday anyway to fend off Ipswich. So it would have been better probably to have Southampton drag Leicester back into it and keep two places available potentially for promotion. That said, I think there are upsides to all of it. And I think as we've just discussed, the upside to a Leicester win is that it kills off Southampton and puts a completely different spin on that final day.
Yeah, I think you'd have to imagine Southampton are going to come to Elland Road slightly demoralised and also with, because they've already got quite a lot of injury problems, haven't they? So they're not going to want to add to that going into the playoffs.
They won't take any risks on players, maybe.
So I was going to say, so you'd imagine they would be taking it relatively easy.
But it's a sort of nightmare scenario for Russell Martin because he won't want to gamble on anything in that game because he can't with the playoffs coming up. But he's also not going to be wanting to throw that game by fielding a really weak team on a day when everything might be on the line. But they have lost some pretty key players, Armstrong being one of them. And like you say, it is definitely the playoffs for them now. I didn't feel after Blackburn like Leeds were in bad shape, if you know what I mean. I didn't feel like they were bad shape. I just felt like they'd slowed up. And the players who've been doing it for them all season suddenly hadn't been after the international break, but not to this sort of massive degree where you would be considering changing the whole 11. And again, at Borough, it was players who've been reliable coming up with it again. Nonto, you know, since February onwards, scored goals, has been influential when he's had a game. But Somerville, you know, someone described it to me as the Iron Robin, that goal, just cutting in off the wing, scoring. He just does it over and over again. And I think as time's gone on, he is actually the definite choice for Championship Player of the Year. I think he totally deserves that award. And whereas, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, I'd probably been a little bit inclined to sway towards Dewsbury Hall at Leicester. I think Somerville does take that. I think he takes in top spot and deserved to. But again, there you had it. And, you know, it's kind of symptomatic as well of what's going on in the second half of the season that you've had more assists from Firpo. You've had that goal from Bamford, even though it was, you know, kind of on a plate and off his thigh and whatever else. And that was quite a big call, I thought. I asked Farker before the game, do you take risks at this time of year? Is this when you have to gamble a bit? You've got to take risks with your team or your substitutions or your tactics or whatever else? And he said, it's really difficult to answer that because sometimes yes, sometimes no. I think his feeling is more often than not, you've got to kind of stick to the programme and stick to what you know. But there was a sort of night, Borough, where you could easily have just snapped a little bit and gone, right, I'm throwing Joseph up front. I'm going to go for goal. But he's gone with Bamford. He's gone with what's kind of worked fairly often since the turn of the year. And it's paid off again.
Trust your swing, as we were saying.
Yes.
To echo the words of Howard Wilkinson. What did you make of that game on Monday? I've been strangely calm relative to the rest of the season. And I was saying before when we recorded Propaganda, last year I was a ball of anxiety for most of it. And then when I realised we were going to go down, I felt fine. And I've kind of reached that point again.
Dan, where did you spend the final minutes of that game?
You know, I spent it in the toilet. But that, right. But that was in the context of that moment in the game when the stress levels got too high. But now we're past that.
If you exclude the bits where you were stressed, you're actually very calm about it.
Yeah, no, but what I mean is in a day-to-day, week-to-week sense, last year I was thinking about it all the time and it troubled me a lot. Like every week I'd wake up thinking about Leeds and then I'd go to sleep thinking about Leeds and I'd dream about Leeds and the whole thing stressed me. And I don't feel as stressed in the sort of day-to-day sense. Watching the games is quite stressful because it's happening there, isn't it? It's all on the line. But I've reached a point of almost calm. But I don't know if it's a mirage because they're going to do something to really upend it on Friday.
Leeds being Leeds, they just couldn't help themselves but throw in that goal right at the end, could they, to make it interesting for the last 10 minutes. It felt pretty under control at 4-2. And I think at 4-2, you were seeing the disparity between Leeds and Borough, which is definitely there and definitely real. I don't think Borough have been a terrible team at all this season. I think they've been very, very mid-table and probably upper half, to be fair to them. But at that point, you're on top. Then you can see that goal, which was clever header, but at the same time, really, really soft. Sort of thing that as manager, kicking advertisement boards in, because it's dead easy to defend. But I've seen in seasons past circumstances where that goal goes in and a fourth is almost inevitable and a fourth follows. Didn't really feel like that.
Which is why I went to the toilet, because I didn't need... All I just said to the lads was, I don't need to sit here and watch this. So I didn't. I went to the toilet, and then I realised I didn't need the toilet, so I went and sat in reception.
I can never ever... I mean, admittedly, Hearts don't win very much, but when they're kind of in that zone, I can never resist just putting myself through the grimness of all of it, because it kind of adds to the, you know, adds to the feeling at the end of it if it goes right. But, and again, everything is so tight that you knew if that went 4-all, that suddenly it probably was the playoffs, and even two wins before the end of the season might not be enough, and it doesn't an awful lot for Ipswich, seeing that result. But it was tense, and it was not a good start. And I think in those circumstances, it asks the question, doesn't it? As people would say, are these players about to bottle it? Have we got a bottle job coming up? And the answer was no.
Hmm. Yeah, it answered that question, didn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely right.
And, and that is not to say that they won't drop points at QPR. It's not to say they won't drop points against Southampton. It's not to say that they'll definitely go up. But in terms of them folding, which I think was probably the fear after Blackburn, it hasn't happened.
It takes a calm head, doesn't it? And I'm talking about Daniel Farke here. It takes a calm head to turn around to his players and say, lads, concede possession to them. Let them have the ball and we will catch them on the break, because that's when we've been most effective this season. But under the pressure of the season, under the pressure of the game, which had been a bit wild, which is quite uncharacteristic actually of most of the season under Farke, just to say, right, let's wrestle back control of this. And by, I don't know, to gain control of the game, we're going to give up control of it. Yeah, that makes sense.
You've seen it happen before. I mean, it wasn't deliberate in the game against Norwich at Elland Road, but there was that period in the second half where it felt as if Leeds couldn't get any possession at all and were pinned in their own half. But the crucial thing about that was that they didn't really serve up any clear chances to Norwich.
It never felt like there was an outball on that game, at the Norwich game.
I think you're right, whereas on Monday it was definitely different. But it also, even though Borough had a lot of the ball, I didn't feel like Leeds were on the edge of conceding in that period. They were suddenly really passive. And I think quite often that is the effect of making people really nervous, you know, because you think you're almost inviting it here. But it does also open the door to the possibility that you get a good counter-attack, and Leeds are absolutely tailor-made for those sort of circumstances because of Nonto and because of Somerville and because of Firpo playing as a centre-forward, as he somehow was in that moment. I mean, I'm not being funny about Firpo, right? I still see it as a poor signing in terms of value for money, because he was signed for the Premier League when Leeds had finished ninth, you know, so we're sort of nominally trying to build and get stronger, although, you know, we've spoken about that transfer window many times. And he was not at all good in the Premier League. But he's come up with assist after assist this half of the season. And when you sort of tell the story of how it's gone, if Leeds do go up, then you're not going to be able to exclude his contribution, because it's been pretty crucial.
I think it's really helped having a left footer on that side as well, because Somerville does the one where he cuts in. Having someone stretching it on the outside, I think, is actually slightly transformed that side of the pitch for us.
And they always look for it as well, don't they? That little.
I was going to say, as well as Byron was doing out there early on, it was very different in the wide areas for us out there.
Mm-hmm. I definitely was. I mean, no slight on Byron, because I do still think that's been a really good signing and made a big difference when it came to Leeds getting going. But Firpo is like a natural left-sided player and can cross in that manner. And some of the whip on his deliveries is really difficult to defend. I think, no doubt at all, for that Bamford goal, Middlesbrough could have done far more with it. It was all a bit lame from their perspective. But it was still a good delivery into the right area that asks a centre-forward to finish it.
Bamford's deadly hips.
Pretty much, like mine. Yeah. but it is, I've said this a few times, it's been kind of the story of the second half of the season that players who weren't really doing it before or weren't doing it before for Farke have kind of stepped forward. And Firpo probably more than anybody else as it happens.
It was interesting seeing, wasn't it, that he resisted the temptation to put Archie Gray back at right back when we knew that Connor Roberts was missing, and he went with Byram instead, who played the whole game, it should be noted as well. He's not done that particularly often this season, has he? He's tended to either go off or be brought on. But putting Gray in midfield gave us that more forward-thinking ambition and almost that 4-1-4-1 that has made us look a little bit more threatening and attacking with Somerville, Gray, Ruta, Nonto behind Bamford.
Yeah, I thought it was the right decision against Blackburn as well, even though it didn't work. I thought it was the right way to go. And Michael and I both said before that game that that seemed like a good idea to get a bit more spark, to get more of what Gray does in midfield, which is, you know, make runs into the box, get forward, look for shooting opportunities, which the other central midfielders just generally don't. And I think he'll stick with that now. There'd be no reason to change it, I don't think. Assuming that Byram's in okay shape for another game on Friday, and there might well be a question mark over that because he hasn't played a right lot recently. But yeah, it's just kind of started to work again, which it really, really needed to. They badly needed to win that on Monday. It was an absolutely must-win game, as QPR is this Friday. A draw is not enough.
Interesting as well, looking at the squad and the way that injuries have or haven't bitten. Obviously, Dan James is going to be missing on Friday because he was in a bit of a bad way towards the end of that Middlesbrough game. But with him and Connor Roberts, it feels like we've still just about got enough within that squad. And you contrast it with the Bielsa promotion when you took some of our key players out and it felt like there was nobody there to backfill. It was often bringing through young players who were unproven. And obviously it worked fantastically well on so many occasions. But this squad seems to have that extra bit of depth where it doesn't feel like we've suffered hugely at the hands of injuries this year.
For the first time in quite a while. And I think even the injuries that have kicked in, you know, particularly Stroik missing for as long as he has done, you can hardly say that there's nobody else in the league who's having to put up with isolated cases like that or occasional injuries. It would be totally wrong to say that Roberts hasn't contributed or done anything. I mean, the goal against Leicester was huge on that evening. But funnily enough, when he came from Burnley and we went to interview him at Elland Road on the night when he signed, he sort of said, I'm prepared for the fact that I might not play much. I'd like to play a lot, but you know, I know I'm not going to get any promises. And if I don't play much, it doesn't matter. I just want to be part of another squad that gets promoted. And he was kind of touting himself as a potentially good character for the dressing room, irrespective of what was actually being asked of him. And I suspect that's probably how it's been. The Welsh contingent seem very, very tight. They all seem incredibly level-headed, I would say, you know, and just very good personalities to have in the thick of it. But you're right, there isn't really one position this season where you take a player out and it's a massive, insurmountable problem. I do wonder whether, and I've seen a bit of criticism of Melier, I understand it. I think there'll be questions asked if they do go up about whether they need to do something in terms of the goalkeepers. I think had it not been Melier this season and it had been Darlow, I'm not convinced that that would have been as good a setup, and I don't think it would have worked as well. The question mark for me over Melier is usually about his distribution more than anything and the quality of it. But I think based on the little I've seen of Darlow in the flesh since he's joined Leeds, and it isn't much, but I do think Melier's distribution looks considerably better than his. So it's been the right way around, and it's been the right decision to have him at number one out of the choice of the two. But, you know, there isn't one slot in the team where you think if he drops out of it, we're in massive trouble. I suppose what you could say at the moment is that given that Stroik isn't available, if Ampadu was out, you know, what do you do on the left side of defence? And is Cooper going to see you through these games? But it's been a proper squad this time. It's been deep. It's had enough depth. It's had enough quality. And that's why it should go beyond 90 points. Whether or not they get automatically promoted or not, it's still going to be a squad that have gone to 90 points and potentially beyond.
With reference to Conor Robertson maybe being that wiser, older head in the dressing room, it has been mentioned on a number of occasions recently by Farker, hasn't it, that it is a young squad. And he used the word naive in the post-match press conference in a sort of laughing it off sense, because you can always laugh it off, can't you, when you've won by 4-3. But I couldn't help but think of Georgie Ruta trying to do spins and turns in positions where he's losing possession and potentially costing us goals, which is kind of part of his oeuvre, isn't it?
It is, but don't forget, this, you know, when you build a squad, you choose who to put in it and who to sign. So after the Blackburn game, Farker got talking about set pieces and corners and the fact that Leeds, quite frankly, are just not very good at them and don't really often look like scoring from them. And he said, you know, we don't have a lot of height in the team, and yes, Stroik's injured. He mentioned Cooper, but Cooper and Stroik play in exactly the same position, so you're unlikely to use both. And it's kind of been, you know, it's kind of been his choice to make the squad in this image and to choose the players he has. And in open play, it's paid off pretty handsomely. So you can't really go from that decision to saying we could do with more height in the squad, unless you kind of say, and I should have done that, you know. And it's a similar sort of thing with young players and youth and naivety. If that's the squad you build, that's the squad you got. And that's the kind of price you're going to pay from time to time. But at the same time, I don't feel like there's a chronic lack of maturity in this team. Not many players have been, or not that many players have been promoted before, not that much in the way of vast experience. But you don't feel like you're looking at a bunch who are completely wet behind the ears either. I think guys like Ampadu and Rodon and so on are a little bit older than in terms of attitude and personality than people maybe give them credit for. Ampadu in particular. I would have had Somerville down as Leeds Player of the Year, but I see why Ampadu won it.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Talk to me about Friday then, what we can expect from the QPR game. Is it all bets are off now? I mean, I'm looking like, you know, you kill me for this, but the home and away table.
Yes.
Phil, they've got an awful home record. They are the second worst side at home in this division after Rotherham. They've lost 10 times at home, same as Blackburn, same as Rotherham. Only 24 points up to this point.
They certainly have. And I think as much as I deride the home and away table, that is pretty interesting.
Yeah, and we've got the third best away record.
It's taken this long to get something interesting from it, but still, well done, Dan.
But we've got the third best away record in the division, just a point behind Ipswich at this point, although we've played a game more. What it does point to is what should be happening. It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't mean anything in terms of what will happen, given the stakes that are, well, on the table at this part of the season. Do you consider QPR to be safe now on 50 points? Because they are 4 points behind Birmingham, who are in 22nd. They're on 46 points. Birmingham playing Huddersfield this weekend as well, which means obviously somebody's dropping points there and going to leave themselves in deep trouble.
Basically.
QPR, you think safe?
Basically, but not in a way that lets them just toss off Friday. If they win that game, they're definitely safe because nobody's going down on 53 points. I think that's pretty obvious. Not totally sure anybody would go down on 50 points either, but it's tight enough where that could still be the case. But like you say, because of other games this weekend, it might well be that even if they were to lose on Friday, they'll find themselves as good as safe by the time they get to the end of the weekend. They've the man Sifuentes, I had a little look at him actually, because he was interviewed by Hearts, or at least he was very strongly linked to Hearts before he tipped up at QPR. They've done not bad under him. They were looking in quite a lot of trouble at the start of the season, and he's managed to get it together in a way which I think is going to get them another season in the Championship. And he definitely has something about him. But you're right. I mean, I was looking at the home record this morning and it is odd. You know, they've really not done much at Loftus Road. But I'm not going to count chickens down there because I've had a lot of bad trips to Loftus Road.
I was going to say, we've not traditionally done much at Loftus Road either over the years.
It's not been something great down there. It's not been terrible either, but I can think off the top of my head, of several occasions where you've gone down there either hoping for something good and being completely underwhelmed, or kind of feeling the worst, like day one under Gary Monk and it being exactly like that.
That said, their poor home record has no bearing on Friday, the same as our poor away record down there has no bearing on Friday. You know, something's going to give, isn't it?
I think their home record has more of a bearing on it because you're talking about this squad and this season, whereas, you know, the historic thing of you haven't won at a certain ground, you haven't won away at Blackpool since 1943, and then you work out that you haven't played there that much either, and in totally different squads. The one exception to that rule, I think, is Leeds in the playoffs. It is totally irrespective of the fact that you're talking about years and years ago, different squads, different players, different managers, different seasons, different divisions. The playoffs and the sort of fear of it has totally got into Leeds' psyche without a doubt. It just is not where anybody wants to be. And if you go into them, everybody sort of fears the worst. But no, the fact that they've had bad nights at Loftus Road before doesn't mean that this one will be. I think the fact that QPR haven't been great at home all season is definitely relevant, though.
Our last win there appears to have been when we had Felix Wiedwald in net.
Yes.
In a battle of the nervous goalkeepers, because looking at it, they had Alex Smithies in net as well.
Right.
A real masterclass.
Somebody scored a hat, was it Roof?
It was Roof. Is that the game where Wiedwald one just bounced over him as well? Or was that a different game?
Oh,
that was QPR.
You might be right. Haaland was in the away end, weirdly, for that QPR game.
Right.
Somebody sent me a photo of that a while back.
How do you remember all this stuff? How do you remember that Roof hat trick? It's not just one game. I remember Patrick Bamford scored the hat trick at Villa in the Premier League, for example. Stuff like that sticks in your mind, but you just go, oh, that's the game that so-and-so did this.
Poppy always says this to me. He always says, you know some right bollocks, you. it just sort of seems to stick. But that was a kind of weird season where Leeds were shaping up to be pretty good under Christensen until it just completely went to pieces. QPR weren't up to much. I think the ones that stick out in my head, definitely day one under Gary Monk, where you thought, my God, like, where's this going?
Where's the group heading?
The night where Bielsa was pictured in the tunnel, and there was that all that discussion about Bielsa burnout, only for them to completely rout West Brom a few days later. And then, of course, the Phillips red card at QPR, which was part of that little period where it suddenly turned for the worse under Bielsa in the Championship, and everyone began to wonder. It's never been that easy down there.
No. What about you for this one on Friday? What's your jam going into it? How do you feel?
I feel like whatever we do, Ipswich will probably do the same just to frustrate me.
Right.
So I feel like we'll probably lose.
I'm not asking for your grumbles against the universe, Michael.
We'll lose and it'll be all doom and gloom, but then Ipswich will lose too and it'll be like, oh, for God's sake, spin it on another few days.
But see if they do, midweek next week is going to be awful, isn't it? As they sort out their game in hand. If it finishes up at the weekend, same position, Leeds 1 point ahead. Yeah. It's going to be some grim watching.
Pull another daft stat out of your arse, Phil. Make me feel better. No, is it going to be tense? Because yes. I'm personally not that tense at the minute. I don't know.
It's weird how these things unfold, though, isn't it? Because at the moment you're thinking, yeah, it's going to go final day. They'll probably match results, whatever. But I remember it feeling like that under Bielsa, and then all of a sudden
it was done, wasn't it?
It was all over.
And, like we could be promoted on Tuesday.
And people were reflecting on the title win in 92 as well. And we were behind, and then all of a sudden Liverpool lost. I mean, Scum lost, and then we played first, and all of a sudden it was done. It was like, oh, turns out we've won it from feeling from nowhere.
I think the difference is, though, if I look at the Premier League, Liverpool, City, and Arsenal, I kind of think you could see them winning every single game now till the end of the season. You batten to win every single game. The thing about Ipswich and Leeds going, you know, result for result, I'm not so sure about, because Ipswich is two games next. They're really difficult, really difficult. Hull and Coventry. I don't think Hull and Coventry are going to make the playoffs. It's probably just too big a gap at this stage. But those are tough games. I mean, we found that out at Coventry.
Yeah, and you've got they're facing each other as well, aren't they? Is that tonight? Is it Wednesday night? I don't know for sure, but I know that they're playing each other.
Yes,
Hull Coventry, that's today. Yeah.
So what we need there, I think, is we probably need Coventry. And I know we're doing permutations again, but I think we probably need, do we need Coventry to win that, which gives them both a sniff of sixth, and then when they both face Ipswich in the coming days, they've both got something to go after. That's how I feel about it. That'd be the ideal scenario, but it doesn't really matter, does it, at this time?
I would go for a Hull win on the basis that I don't think you'll ever get Mark Robbins phoning it in. I think you'll always get decent performances from Coventry, or at least decent effort from Coventry. Whereas I do wonder with Hull, and I'm not saying that I'm not besmirching Rossini here, but I do wonder with Hull, if it goes away from them, whether it is just a case of, right, you know, on the beach. To be quite honest, fair enough.
Yeah, we shall see. So that one is Coventry are at home against Hull, and it is. It's tonight. It's Wednesday night as we record this. So you'll know what's happened there by the time this comes out, because it's coming out tomorrow.
So whatever does happen, make it work in your own head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
justify it one way or another.
That was good, wasn't
Check
it?
Check out the home and away table. Yeah.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it was a good old bad. It was a good old bad result.
It's really added to the spice mix for Friday. We'll see. Do you know what? We can't worry about anybody else, can we? I think that's what I think the Middlesbrough game has shown to me. You can permutate all you want. You can hope that Southampton are going to win at Leicester and they get hammered. So it's like, forget it. Just forget it.
Embrace the tension. This is what gives you the best memories these times. Beats dead rubbers.
Yeah, can't wait to be crying on May the 4th at Elland Road as Southampton, who we think are playing a completely dead rubber, somehow find it in themselves to turn.
I reckon you've had your doomsday moment, which was after Blackburn. Yeah.
That, I think that's how I feel about it, going back to what I was saying before. I think that's what's happened from a mental point of view.
I was amazed at how resigned you looked after that. Amazed. Wasn't it a good day? It wasn't a good result.
No.
But there just seemed to be so much football left that I've kind of thought...
But do you know what? My mindset then, it wasn't necessarily one of depression. It was of disappointment. It was of like, all I want is just a nice day with my mates where we can all have a laugh and we can say we did it. Because the last time we went up from this level that I saw, I wasn't even 12 years old. Mm. It was on the pitch at Bournemouth on my dad's shoulders. It's like, I'm in my mid-40s now. I'd just like some nice memories to take forward. Mm-hmm. That's all I want. I'm asking
for. You may still get some.
You've had nice memories. Think about all the wins this season.
I missed the Bristol game, and obviously that was a tier down, and we were denied by COVID last time out. It's like, do you know what? Just give me a nice day. That's what I want.
Would you rather have a ludicrous final day where Leeds go up, but you have to kind of go through it all, or a nice quiet weekend? Fair enough.
I'll
be honest with you, I wouldn't object to that either.
I think a mad final day, would add to it on the day, because you'd come out of it going, I know I'm alive. But it's out. I also accept it's completely beyond my control. So what will be, and I just want to be there to have a nice time if and when it does happen. That's all. That's all I ask. It's a small hope.
Keep me posted on whether Daniel's in the toilets on Friday. I want to know.
But that's what it's like. If we fuck this up this year, Phil, I'll go, do you know what? I'm not that keen on the Premier League anyway. What a disappointing end to what's been an otherwise brilliant season where we would have gone up. And they've been pretty much faultless for the vast majority of the season. You know, nobody's perfect, whatever.
I must admit, I walked past the South Stand earlier. You know, there's that timeline of the things on there. And I did note that the stat on there is that in 89-90, we went up on 85 points.
Yeah.
Like, God, we're going to exceed that by so much.
Yeah.
And everyone remembers that as an absolutely brilliant season.
And we've been so dominant compared to that as well. We've been so, so dominant most weeks.
If Leeds finish on 96 points and don't get promoted, I think we should all just call it a day.
I was going to say, if that does happen, you've got to say, absolutely fair play to Ipswich. If they outdo us, if we get to 96
Shall we
now,
create a threshold at which you've got to be promoted automatically anyway? Just arbitrarily say, if you get beyond 95 points.
I think I suggested this during the week, didn't I? Saying this is a season where they should do four down. Because it's shit and loads of people put points deductions. I think it's only fair that they create an extra relegation
place. I can't remember if I've imagined it or somebody suggesting it or I've read it is in operation in a league.
It has been discussed before. I don't know if it happens anywhere else. It's been discussed before, but just in sort of passing, you know, is it fair that, say...
If you pass 85 points, basically, you go up automatically and there's no playoffs, but there are playoffs if you
don't. Yeah, like if Leeds finish 23 points ahead of Norwich, is it fair that Norwich get promoted? But the counter-argument to that is that it's how it is. Everybody knows how it is. It's how it's always been. And the playoffs aren't actually good if you're not Leeds.
Mm. Yeah, they're a brilliant thing, I have to say.
Yeah, just don't want any
in terms of the actual spectacle it produces and the interest it keeps in a season. Because if you are, you know, 12th with 8 games to go, there's nothing at all on the line, is there? Whereas actually, quite often you can look at that and go, well, if we can win 7 of these, we've got a chance of sneaking in there. So it does keep interest in a league, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely.
I once heard this review of a TV programme on the radio. It was a bit of a programme that was ultra serious subject matter. I can't remember what it was exactly. But the guy who was reviewing it said, I'm really pleased this has been made and it's a really important piece of television and it needs to exist. I just don't want to watch it. that's kind of how I feel about the playoffs. They're really good. Just leave them to somebody else.
Right, 6 up, 6 down.
Yeah.
With 7th to... 18th in playoffs that I played in Dubai.
Yay! Can't wait. The big final in Saudi.
Massive, a big summer tournament.
Yeah.
Goes on for 2 months.
I think the other thing to remember with the playoffs is, out of every round of playoffs, 3/4 of the teams lose. Only one team out of four, you know, by definition goes up. So most teams who enter the playoffs in most years will be disappointed, because that's just the numbers game, isn't it?
That's what McDermott used to say about the championship. He said, you know, only 3 teams ever get promoted from this division. And given that as time goes on, and maybe this has changed because the disparity is becoming so big between the two top divisions, but he said, given that we're reaching a point, you know, kind of 2014 onwards, where every season they're kind of 16, 17 clubs who thought, well, you know, maybe we could sneak in the playoffs at least, if not get promoted automatically. Hell of a lot of clubs who start the season going, good if we went up, and don't. And at the end of it, have to be quite philosophical and say, here we go again. Plymouth again, lads.
I want to leave you on this thought. That Middlesbrough game on Monday, I think I woke up on Tuesday saying, thinking to myself, sorry, I wish it was Friday. I wish it was nearly Friday. I wish we were playing again. That's the space I'm in now. I'm looking forward to it again, almost.
Are you looking forward to it, or are you looking forward to it being over?
Both things.
Because I think it's definitely the latter for me.
But I think my anticipation of Friday has gone up, because I know that the finish line is in sight one way or another yet. And we get to sort of, I don't know, I was going to say we get to let it go after a certain point, don't we? But we probably never will.
The other day, it'll
be around our necks for years.
I was likening it to that bit where you're about to go into an exam, and even if you're thinking, I don't really fancy this much, I've not done any revision, there's also a bit of you goes, but it'll be over soon. Yeah. And at least I won't have to worry about it anymore.
I think after the Blackburn game, I was sort of mentally preparing myself for the possibility that it might be the playoffs. And so you're looking at the season finishing end of May. And it just totally got out of my head that actually, if it all goes to plan over the next week, it'll be done in a little over a week's time, which is a strange thought. I mean, this season's gone so quickly.
Mad, isn't it?
So quickly, yeah.
And one other thing to just leave this show on is that Michael's birthday is slap bang between the two playoff legs.
Excellent.
Great fun.
So hopefully we'll be able to just go and have a beer and celebrate your birthday and laugh at somebody else's misfortune.
Watch Southampton and Norwich tearing each other to shreds.
You boys go and duke it out.
And I can spend next year being a grizzled Premier League bastard rather than a grizzled Championship bastard.
I was going to say, we could do that terrible thing of just paying absolutely no... The Championship's been great this season.
Has Maresca made it off your bold fraud list?
Absolutely not.
Is he not?
No.
He's cheated to get there. Look at the finances, Phil.
What I was going to say... You've lost me, lose my train of thought now, is that we can do that thing of, we can be completely and utterly dismissive of the Championship ever existing, even though it's been so much more fun this year than it has been for, I think, any of the time just about in the Premier League.
I look forward to maybe beating Crystal Palace at home next year, because that's the sort of thing you're reduced to in the Premier League, isn't it? Let's face it, you kind of go through and you go, hopefully win that one. Yeah, well, might win half a dozen here.
Fingers crossed, in the next week or two, we might get a little bit of a party day. And unbelievably, we might get one at the end of May. You never know if that doesn't go to plan. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. We've got a game to win on Friday. Godspeed is all I can say.
Yeah, let's go sooner rather than later, I think. Yeah. That'd be my advice.
Get it done. Mm. Just win, you dickheads. We'll see you next time.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.